Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll finish up the week with a little follow-up Friday segment. Earlier this week, we heard President Obama speaking Indonesian at a speech at the University of Indonesia, and it's not surprising. His stepfather was Indonesian. His family lived there for 4 years, starting when Obama was six, prime age, to start to learn to be bilingual. But we've only heard snippets of it and mostly only pleasantries on this trip. Thank you, good morning, names of foods. So with us today to sift through Obama's linguistic abilities and where he stands in a continuum of presidents who speak second languages is Ben Zimmer, who is particularly equipped to talk about Indonesian. Not only is he the on-language columnist for the New York Times Magazine, but he has also studied Indonesian himself, and the language is actually a focus of research for him. So hey, Ben, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
Why you in Indonesian?
I started learning the language Indonesian as an undergraduate at Yale. I was a linguistics major looking for an interesting non-Indo-European language to take. I started studying it, and then I went over for language study in Indonesia, got hooked, and I ended up going back for research trips for graduate school in linguistic anthropology.
Mm. So we heard, everybody heard the few words of Indonesian that President Obama spoke at that one particular appearance. But here's a clip from March in which the president speaks from Washington in an interview with an Indonesian television station, and I'm going to ask you to translate afterwards.
I used to be fluent, but I don't get a chance to practice.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. President, thank you for receiving RCTI TV for this interview. Apa kabar, Mr. President?
Baik-baik.
Baik-baik.
Ya, terima kasih.
Masih bisa bahasa Indonesia?
Masih bisa sedikit. Ya, saya sudah lupa banyak, tapi.
Oh, this is quite good, I think.
So what did we hear there?
Well, first we heard the opening pleasantries, apa kabar, which is how are you, literally what's the news, and he responds, I'm fine, baik-baik. He says, thank you, terima kasih. Then the reporter asks him, can you still speak Indonesian? And he says, I still can, but just a little. I've already, it's been a long time, so I've forgotten a lot. This is a conversation I often have on meeting someone from Indonesia. But the way that he says all of that is, it sounds very fluent indeed.
Maybe we could all learn that one little phrase. What was it again?
For which one? For apa kabar, for how are you?
Yeah.
Bike is I'm fine.
Oh, it's for I'm fine. Bike.
Yeah.
Just like bicycle, bike?
Sort of, yeah, pretty close.
Okay, well, bike, how about you? Is it that Obama is hiding his linguistic ability at all? Indonesia is the fourth largest country in the world, the largest Muslim country in the world. Is this an issue of perception, even if he's not entirely fluent? Has he been keeping his Indonesian under wraps a little bit because of this, you know, Obama's a Muslim thing?
You know, he didn't hide it on this trip to Indonesia, and certainly he knew that his words would be broadcast around the world and would be consumed domestically as well. So he certainly wasn't trying to hide it this time around. But he might not have been so forthright necessarily about speaking about his time in Indonesia as a child, perhaps because of the matter of you know, suspicions about his past, which he might, you know, flames he might not want to keep going in any way. But what we saw with his speech at University of Indonesia was a very impressive display. He got a few things a bit wrong in his pronunciation of longer, more formal words, but he did a great job of connecting with the audience by relying on his knowledge that he gained while he was there.
By the way, is it right to even call the language Indonesian? Some people prefer Bahasa, right?
Well, if you're talking about it in English, you should call it just Indonesian. There's nothing wrong with calling it that. The language locally is called Bahasa Indonesia, which literally means the Indonesian language. Over the past couple of decades, journalists, expats, and others have started calling it just Bahasa, which I think is a bit of a misnomer because Bahasa just means language. Nobody in Indonesia calls it that, so it's better just to call it Indonesian, or if you want to really show off, you can call it Bahasa Indonesia.
Does President Obama speak any other languages that you know of?
Not that I know of. Just Indonesian as far as I know.
There's been speculation that he might be a speaker of what I think is roughly called Hawaiian pidgin.
Possibly he picked some of that up when he was growing up in Hawaii. But that is recognized as a language in its own right. So it's possible he picked up bits of that when he was growing up in
Hawaii. But as far as we know, he's never spoken it in public.
That's correct.
Now, we know that President Obama is one in a long line of presidents who knew a second or sometimes more languages. Here is a 35-second collection.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
In un hemisferio democratico. Que participa en el área de libre comercio de las Américas.
America steht an ihrer Seite jetzt und für immer.
Este es el último mes de Hispanidad que pasó como presidente. Y por eso le dije a mi personal que hoy quería hablarles solo en español.
So JFK and Clinton speaking German, Carter and Bush speaking Spanish. I don't know which of those was the most painful to listen to.
Well, we could find out from native speakers of those languages. The German from JFK and Clinton were just sort of rehearsed bits that, you know, they didn't speak German with any kind of proficiency. Both Carter and George W. Bush had limited proficiency in Spanish. And those sounded like prepared speeches that they were making, too, in that clip. But they had some Spanish proficiency, although their accent might have been a little cringeworthy for native speakers of Spanish.
Certainly Bush, as governor of Texas, was learning that, at least at that time. And did you notice that Carter, in his new memoir, writes about reading that night's Bible verse with Roslyn every night before going to bed in Spanish?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, that would be one way to keep up his Spanish proficiency. We also know that Herbert Hoover, for instance, kept up his proficiency in Mandarin Chinese. He had worked in China as a young man, and reportedly he and his wife would continue to converse in Mandarin Chinese even in the White House.
How unique is it for a president to know a second language since childhood, as Obama knows Indonesian?
That's very rare indeed. In fact, the only other real case that we can point to in American history is Martin Van Buren, who really was a native speaker of Dutch. He was born in the U.S. Several generations of his family had lived in the U.S., but the Dutch settlers who settled in the Hudson Valley kept Dutch going. So he learned Dutch fluently as a child. So he's the only one who really trumps Obama, as far as I know, in learning a second language as a child.
We see a sort of evolution with presidents and language. Early presidents such as Adams, Jefferson, and Madison knew Latin and Greek, and a few others actually knew Hebrew. Now we have a president who learned Indonesian as a child. Is there any pattern in United States history that we see reflected in the languages that presidents have spoken?
Well, for early presidents, those classical languages that you mentioned, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, were the important ones to learn. Those were all key to a classical education. Those fell out of favor, although Herbert Hoover, again, supposedly was very good with his Latin. But in the 20th century, we've seen those classical languages fall out. And so, obviously, Spanish is a very important one. You played Carter and Bush in those clips, and that will obviously continue to be the most important language for presidents to show off, given the large Spanish-speaking population in the U.S.
Ben Zimmer, the on-language columnist for the New York Times Magazine. And before you go, speaking of accents, I was criticized earlier this week by one of our listeners for my own speech patterns. On Tuesday, during a discussion about how a few smaller issues would be affected by the midterm elections, I said, niche issues. And almost immediately, we got a complaint from a listener who commented on our website, quote, "For centuries, the word N-I-C-H-E has been pronounced to rhyme with itch by English speakers. The French do pronounce it niche. When did you, Brian, pick up the retro pronunciation of niche, or is this a New York City thing?" Now, I've since heard it pronounced as niche by marketing types and I think increasingly by younger people, writes this person. But niche, Sheesh. Ouch. Thank you, that listener, for writing that up. So can you clear that up for us? Is it niche or niche?
Your caller is correct in that niche is the pronunciation that's historically been used in English. Obviously, it's a word from French, but it was nativized and into an English pronunciation as niche for a long time. But recently, we've seen a kind of re-Frenchification of the word. We see it actually happening more in the UK and the US, but now increasingly in the US, where niche is favored. I wrote about a similar case in the On Language column where the word H-O-M-A-G-E used to be pronounced homage or perhaps homage, and now we're hearing quite a lot of homage in that French-ish pronunciation.
Well, the only other language besides English that I ever actually studied was French, so maybe I see N-I-C-H-E on a piece of paper and I say, oh, niche.
Well, there you go.
Ben Zimmer, On Language columnist for the New York Times Magazine. You in this Sunday?
Yep.
We did that.
We're talking about the 20th anniversary of the World Wide Web in Sunday's column.
Great. Thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have a great weekend, everyone.